Lorraine native and Columbus Blue Jackets insider Jeff Svoboda. Jeff, thank you for the time today. How are things up in Buffalo?
Well, it's Buffalo. I shouldn't make fun of Buffalo because Buffalo, you know, a good Lake Erie town, much like Cleveland. You know, so it's gray here. It's, you know, not exactly, it's not Miami, it's not L.A., but, you know, it's what a place to get back at it for the Blue Jackets. It's a great hockey town, and so if you're going to get back and start playing some hockey, you might as well do it here, and that's what the Jackets will do tomorrow.
Hopefully you can smash some wings along the way as well, my friend, to make the most of your trip.
As soon as this conversation is over, I'm getting wings, so, you know, I'm ready to go.
All right, fair enough. Well, hopefully you could post some pictures of that a little bit later on Twitter so we could all see it. Well, the Jackets were back on the ice practicing yesterday. You chronicled this on Twitter. It was really kind of interesting to see the kind of energy that the Jackets were bringing. But, you know, one of the guys who was out there on the ice that drew a lot of attention was Josh Anderson. Now, what do we know about the status of him?
I'm not sure that he's going to play over the next 2 days. They have the back-to-back here, as you mentioned, Buffalo today, Montreal. Or Buffalo tomorrow, Montreal on Sunday. And it looks as though he's still working his way back. It's great that he's back at practice, obviously, which he's practiced the last 2 days. A guy that had 27 goals a year ago. Got off to a tough start this year, but if he can come back and contribute a lot to the offense, as some of the guys that, you know, a number of injured players have come back for the Blue Jackets recently and been a big part of the success that they've had over the last little bit. So if he could follow in those footsteps, it would be great. As far as a matter of when that's going to be, you know, they did some contact drills today, and he still didn't take part in that. It's an upper body injury for him. And so if he's still not quite in contact drills, it probably means he's not going to play over these next 2 days. But he did make the trip. So the fact that he's here is a good sign. And you know, maybe they look at it, and he decides he's ready, and he does go. But, you know, he didn't take part in any stuff with any of the actual line the team kind of did use in practice. Yes, it's still no contact. So it seems as though he might still be a couple days away. But, you know, it's certainly encouraging news that he's back out there with the team, at least, because, as I said, 27 goals a season ago. One of the fastest skaters in the NHL, a great combination of speed and power and the ability to put the puck in the net. So as soon as he gets back to this team, whether it be this weekend or sometime later this week, where we've got a number of games coming up this week, the schedule gets really, really compacted here. 31 games over the next 63 days. That's basically a game every other day. As soon as they can get him back in that mix, they'll be ecstatic to do so because he's a unique player in today's NHL, and they'd love to have him whenever he's ready because, like I said, the combination of speed and power is something you just don't see a ton in the NHL, especially at his size. He's, you know, about 6'3", 225, like a freight train out there. So they'd love to have him back. It's just a matter of when that's going to he's going to be totally ready to go, but it looks like it's getting closer.
By the time it's all said and done, it's nine days between games. Is that right for the Jackets?
That's right, yes.
So that's a pretty long layoff, and the team was playing extraordinarily well going into that All-Star break. And, you know, with that, you certainly hope that the Jackets can certainly pick up where they left off. And, you know, even though the Jackets had an All-Star break, you didn't have any break whatsoever. You were very busy during that 9-day stretch. And, you know, recently you had a conversation with the Blue Jackets general manager. Wanted to get your major takeaways from that conversation discussing the first half, the trade deadline, among many other issues.
Yeah, well, it's hard to get a whole lot out of general manager Jarmo Kekalainen because he's got a good poker face. He, you know, he doesn't mind doing interviews, but he's also not going to tell you everything when he does do those interviews. Just talking with him, the thing that was most interesting to me was, you know, he admitted the first 30 games for this team, they only won 11 of their first 29 games. So they basically were, you know, 11-18 as far as wins and losses go. They kind of stepped back, though, and were looking at it and go, he said they were kind of scratching their heads wondering, you know, his exact quote was, what the hell happened? Because they were playing good hockey throughout a lot of that stretch. There were games in that little bit of a run there where they weren't winning games, but they were by far the better team. They were dominating. There was one game against the Rangers where they had 47 shots on goal, and the Rangers had 19, and the Rangers won the game. That was probably the most extreme example. But, you know, they did look at it kind of, they just couldn't figure out what was going on the first 30 games. Because they thought they were playing some pretty darn good hockey for the most part, and they just weren't getting the results. And now the results have come over the last 22 games, where they've won 16 of them, points in 20 of 22 of those games. So obviously things have kind of turned around in the wins and losses department. It just felt like through 30 games, you know, any way they could lose a game, they would. Now it feels like any way that they can win a game, they will. And so it's funny how hockey works out. They've probably gotten to where they actually should be in the standings. They just took kind of a weird road to get there, which he admitted. But, you know, sometimes you just don't know how teams are going to come together. So, like I said, he fully admitted they were scratching their heads about 30 games into the season wondering what had gone wrong or how they had lost so many close games and games that they thought they should win. And then going forward, you know, the trade deadline, he's pretty much admitted, you know, they're not going to be huge buyers like they were a year ago, where they were probably the number one team in the league as far as adding players at the deadline. It's not going to be that way this year. But at the same time, if they see a move that they like, you know, their ears are open, their eyes are open, and they will consider that move. You know, I think it's going to be, you know, instead of looking for a superstar, they're looking for just some depth maybe, especially up front. But they're not going to break the bank this year to try to make a run. But the fact that they've won as many games as they have to put them right back in the conversation as far as being buyers rather than sellers at the deadline.
Again, we're talking Columbus Blue Jackets hockey with CBJ insider Jeff Svoboda here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. You also put together an article breaking down the forwards, the defensemen, and the goalies halfway through the season. I believe you called it your winter breakdown article. So what can you share us? What can you share with us what you found in putting that article together?
Well, the thing that just jumps out to me is just how good the goaltending has been over the last little stretch. If you go back to the 1st of November, which is basically a month into the season. So after, over the last 3 months, the team save percentage overall is .930, which is absolutely fantastic. You know, if you can, the league average is right around .910. If you can get to .920, you're really good. If you can get to .930, that's elite level goaltending. And that's what they have as a team with three different goaltenders in that span. And so to be at that mark is really impressive. You know, in his last, I think, last nine games before he got hurt, Jonas Korpisalo was right around .940. Elvis Merzlikins has played 11 games since then, and he's at .950. And then the one start that they gave him is Matisse Kivlenix, who's now the backup. He's only had one start, but he made 31 saves on 32 shots, so that's about .970. And so those numbers are sort of ridiculous, and will they stay at those levels? It'll be hard to stay quite that high, but it just goes to show you, though, that they're playing good, solid team defense, and then the goalies are playing really well at the back end. And so that's what kind of stands out as far as just eye-popping numbers. You know, they went through it, you know, defensively, they're one of the best teams in the league, you know, whether it be goals against or expected goals as you look at some of the analytics and some of the underlying numbers. Defense is really the strength of this team. And they've admitted, as I broke down the forwards, that they probably want to score a little bit more. I think the depth scoring has been kind of the culprit there. You know, they've got four forwards and a couple defensemen who are really producing at a high level. But then when it comes to actual production after that, it kind of falls off a bit. And so I think the biggest thing they're going to look for is depth scoring going forward. But I think the way that they're playing is certainly sustainable, because if you keep playing good defense and you keep getting good goaltending, and you can find a way to score enough goals and win games. And that's what playoff hockey is kind of hanging in there and taking the punches and handling the momentum, which they've done, and finding ways to win and playing good defense. And if they keep doing that, then they should be able to really keep it going down here, keep it going here down the stretch.
So just out of curiosity, with a 9-day break, what is it that some of these guys got into? I guess a couple of days ago, some of those guys celebrated with some puppies that paid a visit, I believe, to Nationwide. But what did a lot of these guys get into during that extended All-Star break?
Oh, they all go on vacation. They're gone. They find somewhere sunny, and they're there for a couple of days. That's kind of the tradition now of the NHL, is when they have these breaks. Because everybody has, you know, with the All-Star break, every team has either 5 days off before the break or after the break. And so we had 9 days between games, with some of that being the All-Star break and then the 5 days afterward. These guys all go somewhere. Like Elvis Merzlikins went to Mexico with his girlfriend. A bunch of the guys went down to Miami. Some with the Grand Cayman. You know, they go somewhere warm, and it's well-deserved, obviously, as you're kind of barnstorming your way through Canada. And when you say we're in Buffalo right now, and in some of these places we go, you want to spend a couple days somewhere nice. So they go somewhere, and you know, they anywhere that looks good on Instagram with sun and water, that's where you'll find NHL players during that time. So if anyone ever wants to meet NHL players, just look for the All-Star break next year, and then just, you know, find a resort in either Mexico or Jamaica or Cayman or wherever it may be, and there's a pretty good chance you'll run into some players somewhere, because that's where they all go.
It's inside information. That's good stuff for those who are looking to see where some of the NHL guys end up going with their downtime. Well, the Columbus Blue Jackets are hosting a Hockey is for Everyone night coming up on February the 7th. That's a week from today. What are the details on this event?
Well, it's really a whole month. The game itself, I believe, is next Friday night against the Red Wings. And so that'll be a big part of it. You know, there'll be like kind of rainbow stick tape, you know, for the Pride night. There'll be some different things going on in the intermission. Sled hockey for, you know, kind of the wounded warriors that are a big part of the community there as far as sled hockey. There'll be some special hockey as well. It's just about broadening kind of the horizons of this sport, which it's kind of a neat initiative. You know, that we do it as part of something the NHL does as well. But it's a whole month celebration. There's a bunch of different things going on throughout the month. Actually, on Saturday morning, there'll be a girls' hockey clinic that takes place at the Nationwide Arena Ice, the main ice. There'll be about, I think, 60 to 100 young girls who have signed up to come and get instruction from. Lisa Chesson is a U.S. Olympian who played at Ohio State. She lives in Columbus now. She played in the 2010 Winter Olympics and won the silver medal there. She always comes out and is one of the instructors, and so they get, you know, girls from around Central Ohio and really the whole Ohio area. Anyone who's a young girl who wants to play hockey gets to come out and learn from the best, learn from an Olympian. So that's pretty cool. There's a couple different events that go on throughout the month, the rest of the way, which I'm kind of blanking on as we're talking about it right here. But it's a whole month celebration. It's just trying to get as many people involved in hockey because, obviously, you know, as you look at it, you know, I think, you know, it's obviously a very Canadian sport, and it's a sport with really high barriers to entry. But that one of the key things that the Blue Jackets organization does is, you know, get sticks in hand, gets the chance for people, especially kids who wouldn't normally have the chance to play hockey, give them the chance to get out there and experience it for the first time and see if it's something that they want to get into as they get older. You know, it's something we do throughout the summer, go to, you know, playgrounds and stuff throughout Columbus. So kind of this month is a spotlight on it, but it's something that happens throughout the entire year, not just in Columbus, but throughout the league.
All right, well, we alluded to this a little bit earlier. You're, of course, in Buffalo tonight and tomorrow as the Jackets will take on the Sabres tomorrow and they take on Montreal on Sunday. Let's get a quick preview of not only tomorrow night against Buffalo, but the entire weekend with the Jackets in Buffalo, then in Montreal. What can we expect in these two matchups?
Well, the interesting thing will be that these teams were playing. Their break was before the All-Star break, and so Buffalo and Montreal have been playing for the last week. In fact, the two teams played each other last night, with Montreal getting the victory. I watched a little bit of it. It was not a great hockey game by any stretch of the imagination. The Sabres in particular look a little bit, they're teetering on the brink of their season kind of being over here, which kind of makes them a wounded animal. They know they've lost three in a row. They only have 6 wins in their last 18 games. They know that if they don't put together a little bit of a winning streak right now, their season is over. So I think Columbus has to be really worried about tomorrow, just coming out, you know, getting a good start, not being rusty, or at least trying to minimize being rusty. Because if you go out there and this Buffalo team that might be a little bit inspired by the way that they've been playing recently, if they can get a little bit of life with an early lead, that's the last thing you want. So I think you kind of have to jump on these teams. Both Buffalo and Montreal are on the wrong side of the playoff picture right now, and both of them would have to have really strong finishes, you know, multiple long winning streaks to really have a chance to get back in it. And so, you know, you want to kind of keep these teams, kick them while they're down, so to speak, and not really let them get any momentum going. But it's an interesting kind of start to the month where the Blue Jackets have 15 games this month, and only three of them are against teams that are currently in playoff position. And then two more are against the Flyers, who are right there. The Jackets are battling them for a spot. They're, I believe, a point or two ahead of the Flyers at the moment. But then that's 10 games against teams that are pretty much would need to really catch fire to have a chance to make the playoffs. And so these are games that you have to win, basically. Especially, it's a tough March. You look at the schedule in March, and there's a lot of playoff teams on it. There's some difficult games, some difficult travel. I think we only have 5 home games in March as well. So you really need to have a good February, and it starts off with 2 games back-to-back against teams that are struggling. So you have to take advantage of these opportunities while they're there, and it starts tomorrow afternoon at Buffalo.
You said 15 games in February for the Jackets? 15?
That is right. So there's only 29 days, so you can do the math.
Wow.
We're going to be quite busy. In fact, there's a stretch coming up here later in the month. It's 8 games in 13 days. So it's a sprint to the finish in the NHL. It really is.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I had to do a double take when you said 15 games in February. Boy, even on a leap year, that's a game just about every other day. So you guys will be really, really busy. No question about that. Well, Jeff, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us. Smash some wings when you're up in Buffalo for us. And we look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff. Again, that's Jeff Svoboda, Columbus Blue Jackets insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.